It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Oh yes, Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure podcast back for another week, bringing you all the latest from the new home of the AFL, Queensland, the Sunshine State. Plenty to get through this week. My name is Nick Davis, and joining me as always, Jack Fulham and Will Ralston. It's been a big week up here in Queensland. The Lions, they've locked in a top two berth, a home double chance final, and the Suns, well, they're edging closer and closer. Just going around the room, Jack Fulham, the Suns, they were a little bit frustrating on Monday night, but there's a lot of potential there.
They were. They went down to the Pies, well, especially coming off the back of the Q clash where we expected them to put up a good fight. They went down to the Pies last night, but they were good, and there are some really promising signs. In fact, they even kind of remind me of the Lions in 2018 where they were having close losses, they were playing well, but just couldn't get the job done. So lock them in for a finals berth next year.
We'll unpack them a little bit later, but Will Ralston, our resident Brisbane fan, locked down in Melbourne. You've done it. You've locked in the top two and only three games from a home grand final now. How are you feeling, Will?
Yeah, feeling very good. We knew that we had to win one of our last two. I'd rather have gotten it done against the Swans because Carlton are a dangerous side and I'm not sure if our heart was going to be 100% in it. It's nice to just have it locked in. Now we can just focus on having a tune-up before the finals and we're in a really good spot.
Now, let's get the crystal ball out and look ahead to finals. And the way that results panned out in round 17, it's not too much of a stretch to say most likely first week of finals, Brisbane are going to run into the bogey side. They're going to run into Richmond.
Yeah.
How do you feel about
it's
that?
It's literally what the one thing, even from like 3 weeks ago when I was trying to forecast the ladder, I was like, I think we're going to play Richmond round first round of the finals. And so I'm a Collingwood supporter this coming Monday when they take on Port Adelaide, which is rare for me. Not only just because the minor premiership's a nice little feather in the cap, but it just means we'll avoid Richmond. I'm not from inside the four walls of the club. I'm allowed to say that I'm terrified of Richmond. It's the one team in the AFL that I just cannot see us beating in a final. And I'm the most blind of optimists. What do you guys reckon?
I reckon it's going to be a massive challenge for the Lions. But if you do beat Richmond first week of finals, you get that home prelim. If you get that monkey off the back, I can't see you losing. If you win that game, you won't lose for the rest
really
of the year.
Really good point.
That's also why I say this game against Carlton is so important for you guys, because it's just one more chance to consolidate on the home deck, get the style of play right, get the conditions right. Yes, every other team's gotten a little bit more used to playing up here in Queensland, but if you just get that final win, get that extra week off, all of a sudden you've got this wave of support behind you. And this is absolute belief that going forward, you're not going to make the same mistakes of the past. Yes, Harris Andrews still out, but we did see Tom Lynch go down with an injury. So fair is fair here.
Yeah, it's been a war of attrition this year. But on the Harris Andrews point, it seemed like a gigantic loss even a week ago. Jack Payne's come into the side. He's only played three games of AFL football, especially against the Suns. He looked really encouraging. You wouldn't call him Harris Andrews-esque, but he locked down on the two key tools that he's been tasked to lock down on and has been solid. So what was a really scary proposition of not having Harris there is less scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone would have seen his first 10 minutes in that first quarter. He was everywhere. Took, I think, four contested marks. A little scratchy for the rest of the game, but I think it was good for him to have a hit out against a lesser team, so to speak, in terms of the Suns. And then he's got the opportunity, a really good opportunity against Carlton. And then as you mentioned, Tom Lynch out. If he doesn't pull up for presumably that first final that we might play against them, sort of evens it up, having no Harris, having no Lynch. So hopefully that means we're not going to get as brutalised as we normally would having no Andrews against the Tigers.
Well, just having a look at that back line, you've kept five of the six of the same back line there. So at least the structure without Harris is still very strong. Going across the back line, Rich, Gardner and Payne. I love seeing Payne, as you said, back up two games in 5 days and show how solid he can be. Bailey and Answorth across the halfback flank. Staskovic currently out with that concussion, but I don't know if they'll bring him back in for the Carlton game or not, or they'll use the time just to rest him. So the structure, then the next man up mentality is really good within the Lions, and they can definitely hold it there together. And of course, the great mystery of why Alex Witherden isn't in the side still keeps popping its head up, but it does tell you there is depth in this Brisbane backline.
Yeah, definitely. It's strange. It's like he's not even in the picture to be selected at the moment with him. But as you mentioned, some of your best form. Rich was arguably best on against the Swans. Gardner's playing excellent footy. And Answorth is just so key. And then Stasevich will slot straight back in. The two young kids there, they're playing an unbelievable season. Bailey goes back a little bit into the back line. So outside of our talls, being Andrews and the pain dilemma, but backline's the least of our worries at the moment.
I want to talk to you guys about Lachie Neale, because we've seen him get off with the MRO. He's no trouble for that late tackle there on the Lizard. But we saw him kept to 15 touches, the lowest since 2017. Now, he's been copying the hard tag in the last few weeks. We even saw Chris Fagan take him off in the last 2 minutes against the Gold Coast. No doubt, especially as the Brownlow favourite, he's going to cop these hard tags throughout the final series. And we've seen it open up players like Jared Lyons and gives Dane Zorko more of a run. But once that, I guess, that Rolls-Royce engine is taken away, and let's just say he gets the shutdown job put on him, where can the Lions go on the outside where they know, hypothetically, they cannot rely on their star?
Well, I thought with Lachie Neale getting a hard tag, especially against the Swans, Cam Ellis-Yeoman came into the side. I reckon he had his best ever game for the Lions. Jared Lyons, just while we're here, daily reminder that the Suns gave him up for nothing. All these
literally
players,
free.
Yeah. Like, the Lions aren't just a one-man show. They bat six or seven deep in that midfield, which they have more than enough quality to get it done. So I don't think it's especially a bad thing. Obviously, you want Lachie Neale to have 30 touches and kick a goal. But if he doesn't, there's plenty of other blokes that are going to stand up and do his work for him.
Yeah, and on that point, it's a perfect time of year for that sort of thing to happen. And the thing is, with Lachie Neale getting tagged, he still has a pretty good game. Like, he still has a midfielder's performance that you'd be happy with if he was anyone else other than the Brownlow favourite. So, I think we're in a really good spot on that front.
And the other thing that you saw with Ryan Clark from Sydney that was tagging him on the weekend is that Clark was a barnacle, but there was also usually another Swans midfielder that was coming out of the contest and diverting his attention towards Lachie Neale. So, like, to be double-teaming a midfielder, it's just going to let so many other blokes run free, which I don't think any team that they come up against in finals can afford to do that. So Lachie Neale tag, not a bad thing.
Well, they were too good for the Swans in slippery conditions up at Cazaly's Stadium. Their first time up in Cairns in 15 years, first time for premiership points. And this is how Triple M Footy called the action.
So Will Hayward, really talented footballer. And he makes no mistake from there. Good start for the Sydney Swans.
Sends it to the top of the square. Hipwood, he got goal side and snaps a beauty.
Lester flew. Bailey at ground level. He started the play. Daisy's boy finishes the play.
Jared Lyons will have a set shot here. Strikes it from 30. And that is straight over the goal umpire's hat. And it's out to 21 points to the favour of the Lions.
Kick from Hayward. Straight through the middle. That's his second. And the Sydney Swans, well, they get within 7 points. They're not going away.
As Parker leans back, and he splits the middle. They're back in the business here.
There's Solly's boy, Hinge. Gave it off to Coleman. He was going to have a kick and then thought there's some daylight. Steps around his opponent and kicks the goal of the night.
Inside 50, Hipwood flew. Over the back, McInerney. Slippery handball, Cameron. Splits the middle. They've caught fire here, the Lions. Ball sits beautifully for Hipwood. Step towards goal. Oh, it's a miracle goal from Hipwood.
Happily lurking at ground level. Picks it up like a good crummer and finishes like a class player he is. Kicks his second. A 6-goal final quarter to the Brisbane Lions. They flex their muscles when they needed to. The Swans got within 2 points early in that last quarter. And they stepped up to win 32 points and put themselves a top two spot.
Yes, very nice job there by the Triple M boys, Joey Montagna and Tim Solly. And gentlemen, I have to say, one of the big takeaways from this game, amongst many, is they kick straight. 11-7 in slippery, wet conditions up in Cairns, always a big tip.
Yeah.
I love seeing Kitty Coleman snare his first goal as well, especially the young Lions Academy boy.
How much of a jet is he?
Oh, isn't he? He's a younger brother, Blake, as well, running around the academy, is doing some great things down there as well. But what I really did like to see, and I think this was everyone's good footy moment of the weekend, watching big Oscar McInerney run down the wing and try and mow down Alir Ali in the wet conditions. Now, it had the Happy Gilmore vibes about it, and this is how Triple M called it, and I may have got a little bit creative here with the audio.
I believe that's Mr. Gilmore.
Number six for him. Got it to Alir. Goes for a run. Tucks it over the arm. Takes on the Big O. Who's giving up the O. Great chase, the Big O. He got him down with one hand, and the umpire let play go.
I will get you, shooter.
Actually, I didn't doctor the audio at all there. That's exactly what happened. But you love to see that from your big ruckman, and that sends a great message throughout the team that despite the game, probably having gone to that point, when they're challenged, even your biggest man in the field, he is prepared to run in horrible conditions as well.
That makes you smile as a Lions fan.
Oh, absolutely. It was the first thing that I said as soon as he took off, because he's got that running style where his arms are in fists just pointing up to the air. I believe that jacket belongs to Mr. Gilmore. And I've just loved Oscar's last month. I think without Steph, who is he due to come back soon? Well, I feel like that's the new story that's gone missing.
With Steph, it's always been, he might be riding a week. He was meant to play in a scratchy on the weekend. We're not sure if he did. But would you risk him against Carlton? But then again, do you
get him into form?
Do you lay him off for another 2 or 3 weeks, and then have him coming into a qualifying final, not match fit and still with an injury question mark?
Richmond are down a ruckman, of course, bring Chol back in, but having two fresh ruckmen would be great. But yeah, as you touched on there, Nick, I think seeing the Lions pushed so heavily by the Swans, it came within 2 points in that last quarter. And then just seeing us go into fifth, find another gear and put the game away within 2.5 minutes, it was really satisfying. It just shows that a mature team that is able to just get the job done.
Another bloke who I've really loved in the last couple of matches, Eric Hipwood. Against the Suns, he was incredible. If he'd kicked straight and hit the scoreboard for maybe 4 or 5 goals, it would have really capped it off. But he had 4 contested grabs, 8 touches, but he was just flying for everything. Yeah. And then you saw that against the Swans, not really a day for a big man, but late in the game, he really stood up, attacked the contest, and then kicked a fantastic goal on his right foot from deep in the pocket. It was a great finish, and that really just killed off the Swans' charge. So hopefully Eric Hipwood can keep that kind of form up in the next couple of weeks, because he's starting to look like a player who could influence a finals match.
Yeah, he's certainly in career best form. And I think we tipped it that either him or McStay, we need someone. They're going to have to almost win a final off their own boots and rampaging home at the end of this season. He's flying for everything, taking way more than he normally does. And as long as he can get those kicking boots on, we could have a real threat in our hands.
Well, the Lions looking hot, as we said, wrapped up that double chance final at the Gabba. No less, they'll take on Carlton Saturday night for one last crack at the Gabba before that week off. We'll head down the M1 now. It was the Suns on Monday night. They were valiant, they were quick, but they just missed their chances against the class Collingwood outfit. We'll unpack that whole game right after this. This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Everything Queensland footy.
He's standing out like a beacon tonight with the yellow boots. He raises his hands and his back is Jordan Ngoi. The Pies get the first on the board.
Over the head. Good footy. Comes out the back and Sexton, the goal poacher, pops through the immediate response from the Gold Coast Sun. Sexton at the back. Oh, again, the goal poacher. He's got three.
Ngoi again.
And the advantage has been paid, and curling around the ruckman was Jordan Ngoi, and he gets his third.
However, it spills to Swallow and he slots it through for the Sun.
King, he picks up the footy. Flying shot a goal, and he has dropped it.
Here's Ngoi, the man of the moment, found himself some space. Jordan, you beauty! He's got 4. The ball now comes in towards Cox. Big Meso! Big Coxie's just dragged that in with the 1 minute. Not bad off the boot. Cox has got it, his first. And the Pies edge further ahead here at the Gabba. Towards half forward. Big Coxie takes it, bounce the big unit. Has a shot on goal. Oi, bugger me, he's kicked it. The big unit's got 2. There it is. The Pies will play finals footy in 2020. 22 points of final margin in favour of the Pies. 10-8-68 to 6-10-46.
Yes, the game got away from them just in the end. There were so many positive things that we saw from this Gold Coast Suns outfit, Jack. But again, just a small class gap. But God, they looked exciting.
They really did, and it all started off the back of Alex Sexton's just incredible first quarter. Kick three really good goals. Hutto went with. He would have to be one of the biggest enigmas in footy, Alex Sexton, who on his day he can just kind of finish from everywhere, looks just an absolute class player, and then can also do a Houdini act for a whole, for a whole 120 minutes, and it. I've even gone to the stat sheet once and gone, did Sexton play today? So it was really good to see him just to light it up in the first quarter.
Fun fact about Alex Sexton, back in my Queensland footy playing days, I played for the Maine Tigers, the same club as Jason Akimanis, and I played against Alex Sexton because I was a fullback. I couldn't kick. Played against him about 12 times.
Oh, no.
One day he kicked 12 on me. Wow. And that's my only claim to fame in football. I had one AFL player absolutely towel me. So I can confirm he's pretty handy.
Well, as we learned from previous episodes, I think a good number, according to Richard Champion, is only 5 goals getting kicked on you. So those are rookie numbers. We've got to get those up. They were so good. And you touched on it earlier in the show, Jack. You said that they resemble the 2018's class of the Lions, and the stats are almost there to prove it as well. So many games that just could have gone their way, and small moments that just... I guess sliding doors, a toss of the coin. We look at maybe Nick Holman getting run down the goal square by Jack Crisp. Now, that hurt to watch, but that evokes memories of Cam Rayner kicking around the corner from 30 seconds to go to possibly win the game against the Roos a few years back. So they are so very close. The draw against the Dons had that kick from Big King not gone through.
Even the game against the Saints, where they just weren't good enough in crunch time, they will learn how to be better in those moments.
Another couple of pre-seasons, absolutely, and that maturity will come through. And you see, but we are seeing like maturity develop at such a quick pace. I noticed it was a big Ben King. He's gone back. He's taken a set shot from nearly outside 50, and he's a bit down on himself for hooking it. But 7-point play, turns it around, settles one step, bang, massive for his confidence in that moment there. And just watching that, you see maturity just growing through this group. So they're a force to be reckoned with down the track, Jack.
They absolutely are. I want to give a special shout out to a bloke who I reckon is the most underrated footballer in the AFL at the moment, Big Jared Witt.
Oh, is he?
That bloke has rocked solo the entire year. We watch him at the end of games and just go, he looks like he's clean batted. But last night he went toe-to-toe with Brody Grundy, and I would probably give him the points. I think when you talk about elite ruckman, Jared Witt always gets left out of the conversation. He was fantastic.
Yep. And the thing comparing with Brisbane in 2018, we ended up getting an injection of real class like Lachie Neal and Jared Lyons. But draftees that are going to mature are already, you can tell that they're of that caliber once they get 100, 150 games under their belts. And I think Fags even mentioned it, the first indicator of a team improving, I think we've mentioned it as well, is their percentage. And before the Brisbane game, they're up over 100%. They're currently at about 95%. And that's the percentage of Carlton and Freo. So even though the wins aren't there, they're having a really good year and 10% off.
And they've got a huge chance to finish the year with a win against the Hawks. They're playing that one at Adelaide Oval. Guys, we haven't discussed this in the pre-show meeting, but I just wanted to run this past you.
Ooh, this Hawthorne, off script.
This Hawthorn and Suns match, it is the only match that doesn't have top 8 ramifications for the last game of the season. Yeah. And we've heard quite a lot about the scratch matches that times they're 16 aside. Apparently the ball's been moving really quickly in them, and it's been a great spectacle.
Sean Grigg Cup the other day.
That was that was fantastic to see on the socials. This season is already compromised. Why not use this one match to see if 16 aside on the ground works? It doesn't have any finals ramifications. It doesn't have any finals ramifications. No, like it'll just be an afterthought. It'll be consigned to history pretty much as soon as the game finishes. So why not use it for something to see if 16 on the side gates a better spectacle? If it's inconclusive, you leave it for next year. But like, I think this season's already messed up. Give it a go.
Oh, Jack, I feel so conflicted by that, Jack. You could have said anything.
Sorry to just shoot her.
Messing with the fundamentals of the game has somehow thrown me more off kilter if you hadn't said something horrific. But you're right. We've been progressive all year this year. We've been adapted. I don't want to see it trialled in a preseason cup, only because I have separate thoughts in the preseason, but... You can see me. I'm actually I'm a bit tensed up here by what you've said. But
I've made a good case.
No, you rattled. Absolutely, you've rattled me. But yeah, you know what? I'll just lay it down. Yes, why not? I think why not? that's going to get me some hate on the socials, but you may as well. You're right. No ramifications.
Also, Alistair Clarkson, if you put it past
he
him.
Won't mind.
Yeah, no.
he gets seen as a visionary.
No, exactly. But Alistair Clarkson, he'd be like, I could be the first guy to coach a 16 aside. Yeah, that's going to give me an advantage. Bang. Straight into it.
Well, AFLW have been doing it for years, so it's
That's the way the women's game operates, even at sort of local level with 16 on the field.
Wilbur, what do you think?
Yep, tradition's cooked. Let's just ruin everything. Let's go multi-ball. Let's will completely revolutionise the game of footy in 2020.
Well,
I'd love multiple last 5 minutes of the quarter.
Well, can we at least bring back the 5 minute warning?
We can settle for that.
We'll
I'd be happy with
we'll
that.
We'll settle for that.
Settle for the 5 minute warning. Like,
get quarters back.
Even last night, you're seeing, was it 36 blokes that are all within about 50 meters of each other, which I don't think it can hurt if that becomes 32.
No, the idea definitely has merit. I was taking the piss out of you there because I don't know if the AFL will be that keen on it. Mid-season, I don't know if it's quite a sample size of one game. I think it's not quite a big enough sample size to run an experiment. But there is one of the leagues, is it the Sample? Do they run 16 aside? Am I completely wrong there? I know they do last touch out of bounds.
Yep. Well, that's Adelaide. So, that's a whole different kettle of fish over there we have to deal with.
They can experiment if they want.
Fair enough. Well, you've launched a grenade and very few casualties. So
send it.
We'll absolutely send it. Just finally, boys.
Just before we go, I'm jumping in.
There we go.
The Gold Coast Suns, they've become the first, Metricon Stadium, the first stadium in the AFL to have a pool. They've launched a plunge pool at Metricon Stadium.
I'll drop my stuff for a second. Hang on.
Get your stuff out of here. Metricon's got a pool.
Unbelievable.
I did notice that.
Just incredible. Like, we went to the Cats and Tigers game on the front of some Cats Nuffy and Budgie Smugglers watching the game from the pool. It was a horrific sight, but geez, I wanted in that moment to be that bloke so badly. So,
Is it on the wing or is it behind the goals?
No, it's like in a forward pocket.
Okay.
Yeah, because they used to have like a little life-saving hut there that just used to look a little bit silly. So they've replaced that with a pool.
With something a lot less silly.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's ultra silly. Even the middle of winter on the Gold Coast, it still gets a little bit chilly.
That is going to be disgusting. We saw the pool deck at the Gabba, much to your amusement, Will, over the years. Something that was so normalised and impossible to get tickets to, mind you, despite running a lot of schemes against security.
But it's very feasible at this point, because if Brisbane were to lose their first game and then sort of Geelong or someone earns a home preliminary final, they could play it at Metricon. And then you could watch a prelim from a pool right in front of you. I think that's unprecedented.
Imagine being the first person to watch a final from a pool live.
Yeah. That's Neil Armstrong territory.
Yeah, this is history.
This is a revolutionary show.
Get your 16 on the field.
Absolutely. Jack, one of the great things.
Sorry.
We've got a few jokes.
I've brought a lot to the
show
today.
Haven't you? You've gone off script twice. I love it.
The script is in the bin at this point.
I know. This is a free thinking. Coming.
Send it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll wrap with a quick hub update, because there is something I do want to run past you guys. Unless you've got anything you want to crowbar in, Jack.
No, I'm done.
No, okay, good.
Just one more thing, though. No, I'm done. Wrap it up.
Okay. That actually might do us for this week, because, Jack, I think I can hold this for another week. You're listening to Triple M's Footy's Northern Exposure. Lions, they're in the top two. Locked, set. The Suns, a chance to get one more victory up on the board and possibly a chance to revolutionise the game from now on. As always, Will Ralston, Jack Fulham. My name's Nick Davis. Thank you for joining us again on Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. We'll be back next week, hopefully, with my hub update, but also to wrap the Gold Coast Suns season and start previewing the Brisbane Lions' run into the finals.